yourself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, but it's all about you. All about you, Jesus.
Oh, it comes to mind. You know, Tim, remember last week? We did some clapping. Thought, you know what, we'll jump back into kind of clapping right now. It's going to be a cappella, but you'll have the band doesn't even know this. They're not playing this.
No.
But it goes like this. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad.
Okay, sure.
So, forget to sing that part. Clap. And then Tim will do his Tim shuffle.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He's made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad.
Hey, Bob, that sounded like a stampede of buffaloes.
I'm not going to call them buffaloes.
You know, there's a rhythm to it.
He knows it, too.
You know, so.
Should we do it once more?
No, probably not. But thanks for being a part of the herd. Back to you, Bob.
Song that we've been doing for the months is "Oh Praise the Name."
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree.
His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord.
Oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God.
He shall return.
Robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Oh, praise the name.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God.
Oh, praise his name forevermore. We will sing your praise, O Lord our God.
O
Lord our God.
It's a good song. And welcome to Harbor of Joy. Glad that you have come today. Was it raining when you came? Okay, it's not raining now either. Just wanted you to know that. But it's good to see the moisture come, isn't it? We did get some this past weekend. That's a wonderful thing to see. Do you want to, just got hot off the press, a note that says there's a white Honda pickup outside with the engine running. So it must be someone who wants to make a fast getaway. You know? I'm not preaching yet, but if you need to take care of that. Or maybe you don't even know it's running. But if you got a white Honda pickup, somebody said it's running out there in a parking lot, you can take care of that. Whoever you may be, let's wait and see who it is. All right. The announcements today, I just want to share with you that Orville Belkin passed away early Saturday morning. His funeral will be here on Tuesday at 10:30. And so our hearts go out to Bonnie and the family. And, you know, I saw him Friday night with the family that was all there in the room, gathered together, and that was always a wonderful thing to see. And we had prayer together, and you know, Orville, you know, the guy just hung in there. That's all I can say. And he knew that his time was short. But I got to thinking, you know, it's like, I haven't known Orville very long. It was through Scott Berry, who just kind of encouraged Bonnie and Orville to come here to church in the last few months, and just hate to see that this is the way we come to a parting with him. So just keep them in your prayers, in your mind, as we think of Tuesday at 10:30. There will be, we'll be immediately following the funeral service, there will be a graveside service out at the Milford Cemetery, and then we'll come back here to the church. There will be a catered lunch that will be here for those of you that would, you can stay here if you want, I guess. But I'll talk to Bonnie after the service today to see if you want them to wait before they eat or start eating once you leave. I don't know. We'll figure those details out come today after church. So keep that in mind. That means the Joy Kids hanging out together won't happen on Tuesday, but they've changed it to Thursday, right, Amy? Okay, you probably emailed everybody or texted everybody. You know how to do those fancy things. So I'm glad you can do that. If it was up to me, I wouldn't do it. I couldn't. I don't know how to do it. So men's breakfast is Saturday at 7:30, and we look forward to that as well. Bob Griffiths went out to Idaho and had a big fall. broke his hip. Had surgery Friday, but he's doing fine, and he'll have some therapy. And I think Patty and Jeff are going back out on a vacation later in July, and then they'll probably bring him back somehow, some way. I just thought, you know, I think flying is better than traveling in a car or a motorhome or camper, because there's so many bumps on the road. You'd feel every one, I would think, unless he's feeling a lot better by then. But that's where he's at. He'll be in Idaho for at least another month. He'll stay with his son out there, and he'll recover from this. And Patty did send a picture of Bob after surgery with his thumb up in his hospital bed. So he just wanted everybody to know that he was doing good and to pass that on to you. Amy, is there anything you need from anybody? Is it empty fruit cans or is it empty soup cans? What is it? Okay. Okay. Amy is here, so if you need to get questions or anything about Vacation Bible School, see her. She'll be very helpful for you today as well. I'd like to thank Dina for doing a supplement pictorial directory that we can add to our pictorial directory, church directory that's out by the secretary's office over there. So, I mean, you can help yourself. Just pick one up, put it in with your pictorial directory if you have one. And if you don't have a pictorial directory, there is one out there, I believe. So it's up to you what you want to do with that. But I think those are all the announcements that I'm going to give. Oh, there's one more. You got this flyer in here. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but if you cannot find what your last name begins with, bring whatever you want with what's in here. But we are just thankful for the blessing box that's out there. It's being stocked twice a day. And so, I mean, the outcome of what's happening with people coming to get food type of a thing and some of the businesses that have been helping and giving us food has been incredible. So I want to just thank Dave Reef and John Arthur, and I think Ken Hansen is kind of coming on learning the ropes too with that. And some of you have also been instrumental in talking to somebody or getting some other kinds of things that have been able to be a real blessing to those who come and receive of them. And heard some good things of people that are using the box, and sometimes, you know, we just say, it's there for you. Take, nothing's going to be asked, just if that's what you need, take it, but be a blessing and give something back along the way if you can. If you can't, no big deal. So we're grateful for how that ministry has continued to grow. And never ever thought we'd have to restock it twice a day. I figured once was enough, but I'm cheap, you know, so. Anyway, let's have a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are grateful today for everyone who has come through the doors, everyone who is here sitting in the sanctuary or out in the fellowship hall. There's no mistake why we're here today. We need Jesus. We need Jesus Christ in our lives. We need to hear your word because we are forgetful for one thing, and sometimes, Lord, we just aren't very good listeners. And we need to hear it again and again. Lord, if there's someone here today that thinks that he or she has done too many wrong things, that God would never, ever forgive them or could not forgive them for what they have done in their lives in the past, may they see today that that's a lie right from the pit. The devil would like for them to believe that. But God has always left room for one more to come to the foot of the cross and to receive his forgiveness. And so today, Lord, maybe that is what someone here needs to hear for the first time in a long time. But we're thankful that you're a living God. You're a God that provides for us in ways that a lot of times we don't even see it. And so bless our time together today. Be with the praise band. Help us, Lord, to clap right. But forgive us that we're Lutherans. We don't know how to clap. But when we do make a joyful noise for you. And so comfort those who need your comfort. Provide for what is needed in the lives of people that are here today. And give us, Lord, your peace. Your peace that passes all understanding, that comes to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Beneath the cross of Jesus, I long to take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within a wilderness, a rest upon
of reading today. You can follow along in your bulletin or read it up on the screen. It comes from Hebrews and 1 Peter. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
gates of mercy. What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame.
The cross has broken, I am forgiven. The King of kings calls me his own.
Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Set me free, hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe out of the silence.
No claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah.
Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain.
There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free.
Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me.
You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ.
Seat or go to your seat. I'm going to invite everyone else to stand as we hear where God's message to us this morning comes from. It comes from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. Then we jump to verses 28 to 33, because I know you want a short sermon, not a long one. So I've condensed it into a Reader's Digest version here today. The title does not really go along with this, but in a way it does. We'll talk about that later. I read in Jesus' name, Matthew 10, verses 5 through 7. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach the message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Verse 28 through 33. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Lord, we thank you for the words that you have given to us today. Thank you for the teachings of Jesus. He has spoken these words. So they're not only meant for the 12 disciples at this time, but they're also meant for us here today. Thank you for bringing us to this place and to this time of the service where we get to hear your word. I ask you to help me to present it and to share it and to give it and to preach it as you would want me to do so here today. And I pray, Lord, that you'd open the ears and the hearts of all that are here today, that we would receive it in and believe these words of yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I could have used a title as later, thinking later about this message. It could be like, On the Job Training. Because it's words of Jesus to his 12 disciples. He's giving them for the very first time something to go and do, but he's not giving them something that he himself has not done. He's given them the authority to do it. It could be learning by doing or job shadowing. In a lot of ways, it's just plain discipleship. That's what we have here before us. So this is Matthew's account, where Jesus gives his disciples what we talked about last Sunday that you all remember, the Great Commission. You know what the Great Commission is, don't you? It's really the mission statement of what the church is to be about and what the church should be doing. There's two things. It tells us in Matthew, the very last two, well, the last couple of verses in the end of Matthew. First one is, we're to go. Be willing to go. And the other one is to make disciples. That's the mission of the church. That's who we are to be. And if we're not doing that, we're just wasting our time and we're spinning our wheels. But that's who we are to be. Not my words, but those are Jesus. So it's a call of ministry. And we find that previous to what I've just read to you here today, we find that at the end of chapter 9, in Matthew, where it says, and these are words you've heard before. There's something you'd probably hear at a mission meeting somewhere along the way. Maybe some pastor has spoken on this or some missionary has spoken on this when he's come into your life in days gone by. It says this, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Yeah, you've heard it before, haven't you? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We're to ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And this is still true today. It's the same kind of calling. Pray that God would send somebody else, but not me. No, God says, be willing to go yourself. One of the things I've learned that the younger you are, the more apt you are to do this. The older you get, you're less inclined to go to where God wants you to be. And sometimes when you're older, you're able to give more than what you did when you were younger to help someone who wants to go, and they need that kind of support too. So, be prepared, be ready. Like I said before, this is the first time that Jesus sends out his disciples to go and do what he has already done, that they have seen him, they've watched him. But he tells them something very interesting here. Only Matthew mentions this, but he says, when you go, only go to the lost sheep of Israel. Huh? He says that. Only go to the lost sheep of Israel. The lost sheep would be Jews of Israel. They're only to go to Jews. They're not to go to the Gentiles. They're not to go to the Samaritans. The Gentiles, they would have to go north of the Sea of Galilee. That's where the Gentiles would kind of be. And to go to the Samaritans, they'd have to go south of the Sea of Galilee, because that's where Samaria was. But he tells the 12, no, I want you to just stay in the area around the Sea of Galilee. Speak to your people, which are Jews. And you can go to the synagogues to speak to them. And Jesus says, and I give you the authority that when you go, you will be able to do these kinds of things, incredible things. You will be able to drive out evil spirits, those who have been possessed by demons. You'll be able to set them free. Unclean spirits, demonic forces, you'll be able to deal with them and to set people free who have been affected by those types of forces and by demons. You'll be able to heal those with just certain kinds of diseases? No. He says every disease. Every disease. I have a colleague of mine who went to Africa, and at one of his places where he went to give a gospel message, he invited people to come that wanted to be prayed for, to be healed, to come forward. And of course, this is a little bit out of his comfort zone, because there's a man that came to him that was crippled, could not walk. And so he goes like, so what can I do for you? He goes, could you pray that I could walk? And in his mind, he's kind of going like, uh-oh. What if I pray for him and he doesn't walk? But he says, I have to just trust God. God will work here. And so he prayed for this man that he would walk. And guess what? He got up and he walked. And threw away his crutches. And my friend said, I couldn't believe it, but I should believe it. But God did it. That's all that matters. I don't understand how it happened. And of course, when he told us that here back in America, we kind of went like, good night. I'm sure glad you were there and not me. God still is in the process of healing people. It says your every disease and sickness. And then in some of the other places in the New Testament, Jesus gives them two more. Get a load of this. Bring back the dead to life. And to heal those who have leprosy. You know, Jesus did both of those in his ministry. This is one of those times where he just wants his disciples to believe in his word and to trust in his authority as they go out and are going to be able to do this in the places where they go. Now think of this, that the message is the same as John the Baptist gave, as well as the message that Jesus gave. The message was this: the kingdom of heaven is near. And the message was also then to repent. If you've been going away from God, it is now then for you to come back to God and to follow him. It is to ask God to forgive you of your sins, that you may walk with him. Because you cannot walk with God if you have sinned and keep going in that direction. It's raining, isn't it? I can hear it. Blessings coming down. God is good. So their mission is to have complete dependence and trust in Jesus' words and his authority. And now remember, the disciples are, they're people, they're guys that they have not had any seminary training. They've had no seminary. They're not taking with them a Bible to use. There's no backpack for them to wear, and they have no money. Kind of like a lot of young people are like that. Don't have any money, unless they got a credit card. But no cell phone, no iPad, no extra clothes, no shoes, no extra shoes, and don't take a staff. You could take a cane, because it's not a staff, just for more balance if you're an older person. But they're to go. They're to listen to what Jesus is telling them to do. So there's no other details given to them other than I'm sending you out like sheep among what? Among wolves. Imagine that. Can sheep protect themselves from wolves? No. Wolves hunt in a pack. Not one wolf against one sheep. It's a pack that surrounds the sheep, and they will go after different ones. The sheep won't know where it's coming from, but eventually they will wear that sheep out, and they will get that sheep. Jesus says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. They're to go to the Jews, the lost sheep of Israel. Not a pretty picture. Not something that would get you fired up and say, oh yeah, let's go do that. You have to be as gentle as doves and as harmless as a serpent to do something like this. But we move out, we trust God by faith. We say, Lord, you do what you want to do through me when we go. Jesus says to them a lot of different things in this whole text here. I'm not going to get into it, but he basically says, do not be afraid. Do not worry about any of these things. And some of the things he says are something that you would be afraid of, and I would be afraid of, and I would worry about, and so you would worry about. But then he comes to a place where he says, but don't be afraid of this. You know, be afraid of the one who can take away your, how does he say that here? Those who can kill the body and kill the soul. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul and body. And Jesus says, in hell. So we're supposed to be afraid of some things, but other things, especially when it comes down to our relationship, our soul and our body with Jesus Christ, having that relationship with him, we are not to be afraid of that. Because only God can destroy the body and the soul. The devil can't. The devil can destroy the body, but only God can destroy the soul. And there's two places. Jesus talks about heaven. If you talk about heaven, then the opposite of heaven would be hell. That's not what I say, it's what Jesus says. There is light, Jesus is the light, but then there's also someone who is dark, loves darkness, the powers of darkness. That's the devil, that's Satan, that's the demons. They're all working in the darkness part. Angels are of light. Jesus is of light. We could go on and on doing the back and forth. That's kind of like the first and second dimensions of life, but the third dimension comes when it's spiritual. We don't see that dimension. But there's a spiritual dimension of heaven and hell. God wants us all to be in heaven. There's no doubt about that. Jesus tells his disciples about sparrows. Talks about sparrows and hair. Now, some of you are losing your hair. And we kind of call those marble tops. That happens sometimes with some people. It's this hereditary thing. I don't know. But he talks about sparrows. And the Roman denarius, which is a form of money, for two sparrows, it costs 1/2 cent. The context of what is being said here by Jesus is that two sparrows is very cheap. It's cheaper than a blue light special. It's just cheap. In Luke, I believe, he talks about 5 sparrows. And that'd be 1/16 of a denarius, which is 1 cent. And that's just kind of what I found out with my research. So it's kind of like 5 sparrows is worth 1 cent. Or maybe it'd be 4 sparrows and he throws in an extra one. I don't know. But he goes on and he says that when a sparrow falls, God knows it. Something that minute. Something that we would never think of. But with every sparrow that hits the ground or that falls or dies, God is aware of it. God knows that every hair is numbered on your head. How many hairs do you think you have? None of us know, because we could not count them. And if you do count them, you might find on your pillow there's a few laying there, and you have to count all over again, or you subtract. But God knows, because you are valuable to Him and He loves you so much, He loves those little things about you that you just take for granted. How many hairs did you curl this morning before you came to church? Us guys, we don't have to worry about that. It is what it is. But you women, you spend a lot of time in front of the mirror. And you go like, I can't go until I get it just the right curl, if you got a curly hair. You are worth more and valued more than all the hair in China and many sparrows. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus is talking about evangelism. That's tough stuff. That's not easy. I've had an evangelism class. I had times where they needed volunteers at Bible college to go to some unknown town and to do a little canvassing. You know what canvassing is? It's cold turkey. Go on people's doors and you knock. You kind of introduce yourself to them. You tell them why you're there and what you're planning on doing. It's usually trying to invite them or let them know about something that's happening in a certain church in that town or that community. And I went to some of those, and I hated every minute of it. I found out that I would rather stay in the church than to go out and knock on doors, because you never know who's on the other side of the door. And about the time you tell them who you are and what you're planning on doing, they close the door in your face. And I go like, I hate rejection. How about you? And yet there's a side of evangelism going like, how will they hear unless somebody goes? So, I mean, I did it. I didn't say I ever enjoyed it. I was glad when I did knock on somebody's door and they were very gracious to me. And they attended a different church. And they go like, yeah, okay, we're just glad to have you come and let us know about what's going on there. And we attend this church. And we love Jesus like you're talking about too. And I go like, oh, I could stay there and talk with you guys forever. but then I'd have to move on. Sharon, my wife, did you ever do this? Where are you? There you are. Did you do this? You probably had better luck than me. I don't know. Did you like it? I didn't think so. See? None of us like it, but if we do it, we're just trusting in Jesus and doing what he's asked of us to do. Because that's what he did when he picked the 12 disciples. How are you going to change these 12 guys, all come from different places, different backgrounds, and change the world? Jesus did that. The next point I want to make is that it talks about acknowledging and disowning Jesus. He says about acknowledging me, talking about himself, Jesus Christ. You know, we acknowledge Jesus by living our lives for him. That's the best way to acknowledge him. When people look at you, or they're by you, or they're with you, they will see Jesus in and through you, hopefully. We acknowledge one another by smiling. Anyone smile at you today? Eye contact, smiling. Not a fake smile, but a real smile. When someone says it's good to see you, now did they actually smile when they said that, or was it like they're just going through the motions? Good to see you today. Thanks for coming. Now, you're going to believe that? No way. I wouldn't. And I wouldn't come back if that's the way I was greeted. Before COVID, you remember what it was like here? I remember. Out of my comfort zone. There was a time in the service where you'd run around in this sanctuary shaking hands and hugging people. And I'm going like, where in the world does this come from? What are they doing? Relax. The wonderful thing is that I knew that when that happened, you were genuine. You really wanted to do it. We haven't gotten back to that yet. Whew. But it's still a good thing. The way you use your voice says something about the way that you are, the way you think about the person that's in front of you. To do the opposite is to disown. We disown people when we don't look at them. We want nothing to do with them. We don't greet them. We don't say hi. We don't give them a smile. We look the other way. If we think they're looking at us, we look the other way. We don't want to acknowledge them. We would not recognize them in any way. And we would consider that being very disrespectful and unkind. And we have to ask ourselves, is that something that Jesus would do? Did Jesus do that to you in your life? If he treated you that way, would you say like, oh, he's a nice guy. I really want him to be my savior. He loves us. He can't love us any more than he has in the beginning, and how he loves us today. It stays the same. There's nothing you can do to increase his love for you or to make him love you more. He's always loved you. Now we come to the conclusion. Aren't you glad? Okay. We're still ahead of time. Conclusion is this. Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before men. I like the word whoever because whoever is anybody. Are you one of the whoever's here? Whoever acknowledges me before men, he will acknowledge you in the same way. There is nothing to fear when we go to Jesus. There is nothing to be afraid of when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The disciples had to take this step. They had to trust the words of Jesus that he said to them and the authority that he gave to them. They had to trust that. They had to go by faith when they left. They didn't know where they were going. They just said, go to the lost sheep of Israel. That means they have to find Jews and go to the synagogues. You think every synagogue welcomed them into their synagogue? Chances are, I don't know if any of them would have liked them or wanted to hear what they had to say, because they were telling them strange things about a Messiah known as Jesus Christ. And they said, there is no Messiah yet. We're still waiting for him. This man you're talking about, where does he come from? They say, well, from Nazareth. Well, who's his parents? Well, Joseph and Mary. See, he can't be the Messiah. The Messiah will come, but he's not the Messiah. So you guys, what you're telling us is fake. It's not true. Get out of here. And if you don't get out of here, we got somebody like Brian Powell right here that will just move you out. Right, Brian?
Yeah.
All right. That's the way it was in the beginning, and that's the way it still is to be done today. We go by faith. We may not know where God will send us or where we're to go, but wherever it is, we know he goes with us, he empowers us, and he will lead. It's an amazing journey. I think of the songwriter who wrote, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey." Simple, trust and obey. Another hymn writer says this, "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." And that's true, it will be. It'll be worth it all when we see Christ. Because God is with us to the very end. He's here today, and he'll be with us wherever we go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you tell us not to be afraid because you are there with us. Thank you that you give us the authority. Because even in the Great Commission that we find in the last verses of chapter 28 of Matthew, it says that you give all authority. All authority has been given to you, and therefore you give it to us. May we acknowledge you today, even here. There are visitors here today. There are people that we haven't seen for a long time, and we just don't know how you're going to use us. But we trust you by faith and are thankful for everyone that is here today. People come because they want to hear about Jesus, but they also want to see Jesus alive through the people that attend here. So use us today, Lord. And may we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. You'll see it on the monitors. Let's say together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Do you know what you have just said? Goes back to 325 AD at the Council of That's the Nicene Creed. The Apostles' Creed came because there was false teaching going on in the early church. And the questions were being asked, how do we know that we are following the right teaching? And that's where the Apostle Creed comes from. It's kind of one of those things where it's like believing what it says is very important. It happened again in 325 at the Church of Nicaea, where we get the Nicene Creed. And that was false teaching about the Son of Jesus, that is he really God or not? And it took decades, many, many years for theologians of different churches to come together and to hammer this out, and out came the Nicene Creed that once again was saying, this is what we believe by faith about Jesus Christ. And then in the 5th century comes what is known as the third creed that's believed by Christians all over the world, known as the, everybody knows this one. What is it? It starts with an A, the Athanasian Creed. It's a long creed, but it teaches the importance that God is one God in three persons. Not three different gods. One God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so that's why that came about. There has not been a creed since then that has been accepted by other Christians worldwide. Just those three. Interesting that it's three. The Apostles' Creed's got three articles. Meaning that you're talking about God the Father, then goes to God the Son, and then goes to God the Holy Spirit. Interesting. But that's why we say it reminds us what's important to believe. Just a little extra there.
Would you please stand? We get to clap again, too. You shall go out, you shall go out with joy and lead forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands as we go out. Let's pick up the tempo a little bit. Keep them clapping going. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands as we go out.